DavidRenicky.com, I reference it frequently, but when you go to the source itself, it's even better. David, hello.
You wouldn't be anywhere else, Bill Cake. Today I could be with you again.
Exactly. This is fairly exciting news. Are we looking at creating some sort of space police force? What's the story with this?
Yes. You can now join, well, you'll soon be able to join another arm of the armed forces, like the way things are going now. But it's happening in America, of course. Everything starts there. And what we're seeing is the introduction of an idea that I think will, pardon the pun, take off. This is the Defense Department. They're looking at developing a space coast guard, if you will, space organization.
Right. I like Space Force better, though, David. It sounds really exciting
and
sexy.
Yeah, Space Guard is what they're modeling it on, the U.S. Coast Guard. But it's going to be a very effective tool when you deal with space security. Issues are going to pop up. More countries are going to be in space. There are going to be people mining asteroids. Who got what? How many did you get? Where are you going to take it? What? All these sort of things. You know, like you're going to gold rush days.
Do you think we'll ever get territorial up there, like we could come to blows over planets and asteroids?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of legal issues, you know, come to the fore. And that's where lawyers at the moment are working on space law. So in conjunction with space law, we can introduce the Space Force. I think it's an eventuality. I mean, something we've got to look at, and we did see an indication of how complex it can get on the space station, which is owned by 16 different nations.
Yeah.
And once you get a disagreement up there, I mean, you've got to have somebody to arbitrate it, someone to sort it out. So this is what's going on now. It'll be part of a civilian department, probably a peacetime group. But at the moment, there's no real indication when it's going to happen. But I think it will eventually become a part of the space game. You know?
There's always going to be military oversight, David, even if it is a civilian arm of the government.
Someone's going to have to oversee it, and that's going to be a governmental group of some sort.
Yeah.
America usually takes the hand in this sort of thing, and they're the ones that are going to do it first, so we'll see how we go.
Right.
But there will be the international agreements, of course. These are all things to be worked out in the future, not now, by people that probably haven't even been born yet.
Yeah, well, that's our ancestors, or not our forefathers. No, that's the other word. What's the other word I'm looking for? Ancestors, forefathers, descendants, that's it.
Them.
What's this about the new supercomputer in Japan? I'd expect them to come up with something really cool.
This is an interesting idea. I mean, we're downloading now. We're getting more information back from spacecraft and ground-based radio telescopes. More data than we can handle. If we lost the Hubble telescope today, if we lost all our radio telescopes today, it would still be 10 years if all the combined scientists in the world started to work on the available data we've got to assess it and go through it. It'd still be 10 years before we even got through part of it.
God.
So there's so much there. There's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to downloaded science coming back from various aspects of our space program. And to that end, we're going to need some sort of a system to filter it all out. Now, the Japanese have come up with the most powerful computer ever conceived and built. National Astronomical Observatory have started this up already. Giant parallel computer. It can calculate, guess this, 3 quadrillion operations a second. I'll say it again. 3 quadrillion. I think that's a trillion.
I think that was the amount of money Scrooge McDuck had in his bank, and it still wasn't enough.
That was a billion. He was a billionaire. But he wouldn't rate very much work today. He wouldn't be down the 100 list, I think. This is going to be able to... We're going to be able to create a better, bigger model of the cosmos. We're going to understand the universe in a better way, because at the moment we can't, you know. We're going to be able to use this supercomputer to model the gravitational forces of almost every star in the Milky Way galaxy. I mean, this is amazing. You could be talking between 1 and 200 billion stars.
Wow.
And this will do it individually and work out their orbits, what they're like. It'll give us a better fix on planets out there that may be like the Earth. But it's going to recreate also, it can recreate hundreds of billions of stars and see how they came into being. It can give us a better working model on how the universe was made. And also, too, they say that with this computer, we can simulate a supernova explosion. In other words, we can create the exact same thing at any time we want to on the screen, whereas before, as we know, with a supernova, you've got to be in the right place at the right time.
So we can actually check the conditions. That's a really good advancement in human engineering.
Well, it's going to happen, and you know, this is a forerunner to the home computer is going to change too in the next 10 years. You'll find they'll be introducing, and they're starting to look at it now, quantum computers.
Yeah, I love it. More at davidrenicky.com. This is a bit of a weird one. We've talked about the flat earth people before, but what's this other story about Australia not existing and we're all paid NASA actors? What's this one about?
These people, there's something wrong with them. I mean, there's a percentage of the world that worry me, and they're called the Flat Earth Society.
Yeah, I want to know where my paycheck is, if that's the case.
Well, you don't exist. Your station's not there. Australia's not even here. We're all avatars. This is ridiculous. I mean, what's got me bugged and really bugged, the reason I ran the story was because I had to see it in print for my own eyes so I could believe it. Look, it really amazes me in this day and age we're living in, the 21st century, knowing what we know with what we've seen and discovered, there are still a bunch of people called the Flat Earth Society who believe the Earth is flat. Now, only recently in Birmingham in the UK, they had a convention. 200 of these bods turned up for a three-day event, 9 speakers. Now, out of those 9 speakers, one of them stood out like you know what. And this is what the speaker came up with. Talking about, look, I'll read it out to you. Australia is not real was the name of the talk. Quote, it's a hoax made for us to believe that Britain moved all their criminals to some place, but in reality, they drowned them in the off the water. They threw them off the boat and drowned them in the water before they could land on dry ground. It's a cover-up for one of the greatest mass murders in history. So, you know, it was just saying that you couldn't have sailed from where they did because you would have gone off the other side. So they made this story up that they did land in Australia. And anyway, they reckon also that all Australians now are nothing more than computer-generated persona. So anyone in the UK, people haven't been outside the country wouldn't know. They're being told now that, you know, these people are being told at this convention that you're being lied to by NASA and everybody else, that they want you to continue, so they, you know, they can dominate you. They want you to continue thinking the Earth's round. And there are people who live down in the Southern Hemisphere when, obviously, if you go to the edge from the UK, you're going to fall off. So you're an avatar, I'm an emoticon, and everyone listening to me, there's no one out there, they don't exist. So Australia, look, what a long time. Can I get your dump button ready, because I might say something I shouldn't say. look, it's just beyond belief that, and if you want a bit of fun for a few minutes, go and Google Flat Earth Society. You'll find they've got a website, they've got a membership, put out a newsletter. I'm going to go and have a strong coffee after this.
I know you want something stronger, but we're in polite company, David. So
yeah, I might just leave it to go for a cappuccino.
One final thing, Pluto. Has it got back to planet status, or is it still a planetoid?
No, it'll never go back to planet status. Right. It's still, even now, you know, after the demotion in 2006, Pluto is still rated as a dwarf planet. There are two factions in astronomy. One is the planetary scientists. These are the people who work in planetology. It's a branch of astronomy that deals in the solar system on its own. And there's the other branch called astronomers who work on cosmology in the greater universe. Now, the two have got differing opinions on what should be what. It all goes back to 2005 when Mike Brown found another world past Pluto.
Right.
Now, that world was about the same size as Pluto, so they called it a dwarf planet. And, you know, the inference was, if you're going to do that, you might as well call Pluto. And they did. And 28 people made the decision for the entire world. Now, Alan Stern is a member of the New Horizons team that went past Pluto with the spacecraft only a year or so back. And we've discovered so much about this world now, it's just an enigma. But he's saying that they made a big mistake when they demoted Pluto. He's saying it was actually illegal. It was a completely wrong and, illegitimate demotion, in his opinion. He said, astronomers should stick to what they know best and leave us to what we know best. He said, we know planets, we know, and he's still saying, maintaining, and I do too, because I'm a card-carrying and a flag-waving supporter of Pluto. Always, he said they should have left it the way it was.
Well, yeah,
it wasn't making any also, he's saying, if we find another 10 or 20 planets out there, so what? He said, I don't care if there's 30 or 40. So the definition here is that with the astronomers, they want to cut it off at a certain point before we have a whole bunch of planets nobody can remember, or the planetary scientists say, look, it doesn't matter how many we find, they're all part of our family.
This intellectual argy-bargy.
Crazy, isn't it?
And, of course, you know, they're talking about, you know, Pluto may be a comet and all these other comets came from it, so, I mean, whatever.
Crazy. There's a lot of strange research going on at the moment, so it just shows that at this point in time, you know, in astronomy, even though we're in the golden age of telescopes, there's still a lot of questions out there we don't know about.
Speaking of telescopes, one of your sponsors, the Tasco Skywatcher, one of the best telescopes to get hold of, mate.
You betcha. We've got some great results with these telescopes, and they do support our work. Tasco and Skywatcher are probably one of the best names in the world. They always had. I started out as a kid with a little 60mm Tasco refractor, and I think most people listening to me now that graduated of the bigger ones might go back and remember when they did too. So, yeah.
How do you find that graduation? So if you start off as a kid with something smaller, and then what do you find as you get older and you want to progress more, you do tend to buy yourself bigger telescopes?
Yeah, it's called aperture fever. Blokes suffer with it more than women do. Yeah, they do. Look, we find that a bloke will buy a telescope, and he might buy, say, a 6-inch reflector. And we always say to them, go up a grade. And you are 3 months down the track, they're knocking on your door saying, I want to sell me a telescope, get a bigger one. So astronomy costs money. How far do you want to see? That's basically what it's all about. But telescopes are not dear, but that's what it's all about. You go from one, I had a tiny telescope, and it did me for quite a while, but I wanted to see more. So I had to save up a little bit more cash as a kid, and I did. And I got a bigger one, and I was quite excited about it. So there you go. Aperture fever strikes blokes. 9 times out of 10, a guy will want to upgrade his telescope. So if you're looking to buy one and you are a fella or even a woman out there might want to buy for hubby, go to the one you think you might want and then go up a grade. Because I'll tell you what, you'll be doing it sooner than later.
All right, davidrenicky.com. Check out the website. Remember, David knows every name of every star in the night sky but can't read a street directory. I love that.
Can't either, mate.
Thank you, mate.
I get lost easy.